Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, for our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. Norma, first listening in New York, New York. Hi, Norma.
Hi, Hank, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. My question is about last-minute repentance and salvation. As Christians, you know, we're called to be a reflection of Christ to others, but if people don't have a desire to know Christ, and they never do, where does that leave? Is it worth it?
Well, I don't think, Norma, that the real issue is that we should run around force-feeding people the gospel. I've said many times on the broadcast that the issue is not as much evangelism as it is equipping for evangelism, which is to say that we must always be prepared, ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. So we must prepare ourselves in order to be ready, and then God gives us the opportunities. And so rather than running around frantically grabbing people by the lapels and saying, brother, are you saved? I think it is far more significant to prepare ourselves. And when we are equipped or prepared, we will have opportunities to share the truth and life and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart.
Okay, thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, Norma. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tia next in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Hi, Tia.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, so there's a verse in the Bible that says basically, right, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. But what happens when that faith that was built is on false doctrine? So I grew up, my parents were in the Mormon church through my childhood, and then they found some stuff or somehow, whatever, changed their minds on that or were pulling away from that. And I went to a Catholic high school and learned all of Catholicism and stuff and whatever. So now I'm in my 50s and trying to get my doctrine right, and I'm realizing that my house of faith, you know, the foundation and the basement aren't quite right. I've got all this stuff intertangled that I'm trying to weed through.
Sure. And so you were involved in a religious construct, namely Mormonism, which is not being trained in the way you should go. In fact, it's being trained in a way that you should not go, because Mormonism quite literally denies the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And this is most glaring when it comes to the deity of Jesus Christ. For in Mormonism, Jesus is but the spirit brother of Lucifer. So, yeah, I think the solution to the problem at this point is becoming very conversant with essential Christian doctrine, because essential Christian doctrines are the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. They're foundational to the gospel, and they are the North Star by which Christians in the Christian church have always set their sail. So we must be familiar with those essentials of the historic Christian faith, and then in being familiar with the essentials of the Christian faith, we recognize immediately the difference between those issues that are essential, those issues that are secondary, and then we also recognize that we should deal with all, whether a cultist or someone involved in a world religion, with gentleness and with respect. So an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity.
Okay. But I guess as far as trying to unlearn those things or weed those false things out, when you learn them as a child, they're like built in, you know, deeply into, so everything that I've grown since then, I've still built on that foundation. I did get your doctrines one and the Mormon one and like five or six of those little flip chart books and been working through those, but that's just pointed out even more how much I've built on that false teaching.
Right, but now you're laying a new foundation in Jesus Christ, right? It's no longer the old foundation that has been uprooted. Yes, there are vestiges in your mind, but as you become familiar with the new foundation, it will become foundational for you, which is to say that you are now replacing the old with the new. The old is gone, the new has come. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, said the Apostle Paul. So you are now in Christ, the one who spoke, and the universe leapt into existence. And I think that as you root, as it were, the essentials in your mind, then you have, again, that barometer, that straight stick by which to see that the other is crooked. As has been well said, contrast is the mother of clarity. So now you have the straight stick of doctrine, and when you lay that straight stick down next to what you have previously learned, you immediately see just how crooked it is. That's why it is foundational, fundamental, if you will, to root and ground your mind in the essentials of the historic Christian faith. These are the main and plain things. There are secondary issues. They're not insignificant. But these are the kinds of things you can debate. They're not really the big issue. The big issue is becoming conversant with essential Christian doctrine. That has to become part of the warp and woof of who you are.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Yep, that makes sense.
Thanks for your call, Tia. Tammy next in Dixon, Tennessee. Hi, Tammy.
Hi there, honey. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question for you, since there is no sadness in heaven, how will we react to people that we love here on earth not being there?
Well, I think, first of all, we are going to see things from God's perspective. Now we see things in a very discombobulated way. Then we'll see things as they really are. And we'll recognize that all who spurned the grace and goodness of God that could have been theirs are separated from God, not because God is capricious, as is the God of Islam, but because God is not going to take someone who did not want a relationship with him kicking and screaming into his eternal presence. If he did that, heaven wouldn't be heaven, heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. So we will see that God's justice and his love are perfectly reconciled in his being, in his essence. And we will be rejoicing over that. Again, we will see things not as though we're looking at the tapestry from the bottom, where there are all kinds of strings hanging out in discordant fashion, but we'll see the tapestry as it was meant to be from its very beginning. So we will be glad because in comprehending that all who are in hell are there because they did not desire a relationship with God, we will see that God has meted out justice and love in equal measures.
Well, that makes sense. I've prayed a long time for my children to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and I would hate to be somewhere without them. And I know I would not be unhappy in heaven. That's not what I'm saying. I just wondered how that would work.
Well, Tammy, the last chapter has not been written, and I would not in any way discourage your mother's love. But I will tell you this, that when we stand in the greatest size with people from every language and nation and people, we will be most assuredly thankful for the grace, the love, the goodness, and the justice of God. We'll be right back.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI. And stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth,
check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ryan listening in Missouri. Hi, Ryan.
Yes. Hi, Hank. My question was, what's the dividing line between a true Christian and someone that's following a cult?
Well, I think the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults is essential Christian doctrine. And that's why we say in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. The essentials of the historic Christian faith are foundational to the gospel. They're the north star by which the Christian church sets its sail. And they're the very dogmas for which the martyrs shed their blood. So the essentials are the line of demarcation.
Okay. So what would you say about the seeker-friendly movement? Does that movement change the gospel?
Well, I think that churches should be seeker-friendly because I think it's critical that we have an outreach to the world. We are called as Christians within the context of the church to be reproducing disciple makers. So we want to be friendly towards seekers. However, in doing so, we don't want to reduce what we do to a microcosm of the culture so that it becomes culturally relevant in that sense. We still have to do what we're called to do, and that is worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. That cannot be compromised. We must administer the sacraments. We must show the unity of the faith through which we draw the world to the church, the seeker, if you will, and through which we are equipped to communicate what we believe, why we believe, and most importantly, in whom we have believed. So we want to be churches that are reaching the world, but not by bringing the concepts of the world to the fore within the context of the church, rather doing those things that healthy, well-balanced churches have always done. And I've delineated that by talking about worship, oneness, and witness.
Yes. Thank you, Hank. That answers my question.
You got it. Thank you, Ryan, for your call. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Brandon, Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Hank. So I'm just thinking about people who don't in their lifetime have the opportunity to hear the gospel message and how the Bible tells us that by God's creation, we can see his attributes and work without excuse. But I'm wondering how maybe a guy in the Congo, how by looking at the stars, he would actually get to know that he is a sinful human and that Jesus actually paid the price for his sins. Do you think that on the judgment day, maybe he would be judged under the patriarchal system or by the same standards that Christians are judged by?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You don't get special revelation by looking at the stars. However, as Paul makes plain in Romans chapter 1, when you see the stars or when you see the heavens, they proclaim the glory of God, God's eternal power, his divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. But this is not in isolation. There are other ways of knowing God. For example, in Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about the knowledge of God being imprinted, as it were, on the canvas of our consciousness so that we have an outer light. We also have an inner light. And the point is, if we respond to light, we will receive light. But to your question, I certainly agree. It's not the absence of truth that damns. It's always the despising of truth that damns. And that is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, light came into darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem is never that there's not enough light. The problem is that men respond to light by obscuring it. And you know, Pascal, this is one of my favorite quotes, I've used it many times. He talked about the fact that God dwells in enough light so that if you want to find him, you will. And he dwells in enough darkness so if you don't want to find him, you won't. And this is augmented by a verse I quoted earlier on in the broadcast where Paul says, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth, and then he placed them in the exact places where they should live so that they could reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So God places us in those circumstances where we can find him if we want to find him, which is to say, if we desire light, we can receive the light of Christ that is delineated by Paul in Romans chapter 3.
Okay, thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to David. He's listening in Lacey, Washington. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. Well, my question is, Jesus speaks of the faith of a mustard seed, and if we had that type of faith, we could move mountains. So how does one go about actually increasing their faith?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. Now, remember, this is not about having faith in your own faith as though you have some reservoir that you want to make larger in terms of your own capacity, as opposed to what the biblical norm is that faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God. And as such, faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So if you're placing your faith in God, then that's well-placed faith. Now, how do you increase that? Well, you increase that by partaking of the means of grace that God offers to us. Those graces are received through prayer. They're received by getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into us. And by the way, when you're reading or meditating or memorizing the Word of God, what you are doing is interacting with the mind of God. He is the one who inspired human beings to pen the Scriptures. And not only are you interacting with the mind of God, but you're also interacting with those men who were alive when the Scriptures were being codified. So they are dead now, but they were certainly alive when they were writing what they were writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the grace comes through the Word of God. It also comes through other means, the Eucharist, the Lord's table, or the Lord's Supper, Mass as it's variously called. It's another means by which we partake of the life of Jesus Christ. We become Christ bearers because his body and blood are distributed throughout our limbs. And so this is the chief instrument of what is called theosis. Experiencing the real presence of Christ is tantamount to becoming one with Christ, and oneness with Christ is tantamount to oneness with the Father and the Spirit, or with life in the Trinity. So this is the beauty, I think, of partaking of the means of grace by which we can be brought into fellowship with God. And that fellowship, of course, increases our faith dramatically and, I would say, dynamically.
Well, I appreciate that answer, Hank. Thank you.
You got it. And, of course, the Bible defines faith in a very unique way. It is being sure of what we hope for. It is being certain of what we do not see, and therefore biblical faith is an assurance that stretches from a human being to the God who created that human being in his image and likeness. So the object of faith is what renders faith faithful. It is the assurance that God's promises will never fail, even if sometimes we do not experience their fulfillment during our mortal existence. And I think Hebrews 11 is so wonderful because it underscores the fact that we trust God to fulfill his promises for the future based on what he has already fulfilled in the past. And therefore, our faith is not blind faith, but faith squarely based on God's proven faithfulness. One other point that I would add to the discussion, and that is that faith serves to protect us in spiritual warfare. Millions worldwide believe in the trustworthy ministry of those that perhaps are their pastors. They've heard them proclaim the good news. And yet, they do not believe that the message corresponds to reality. And thus, they have the knowledge that it takes to be saved, but they do not have the saving faith. Others hear the message, they agree it corresponds to reality, but due to hardness of their hearts, don't bow. And like the demons, they continue to live in fearful anticipation of the judgment that is to come. Some, however, have what the scriptures describe as genuine justifying faith, a faith that not only knows about the gospel and agrees that its content corresponds to reality, but a faith by which they are transformed. The question, and the reason that I expand on the question, is transcendently important, because faith is being prostituted to a large degree within the Christian church today. Leaders are telling people that faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. So simply by conjuring up the force of faith, you ultimately can have complete health and complete wealth. That's all a matter of faith. But this is a prostitution of faith. It's called the faith message, the faith gospel, the health and wealth gospel, but it is a false gospel, and it is a gospel that induces, as I've said many times, people to come to the master's table, not because they love the master, but rather because of what is on the master's table. Unfortunately, out of time for this show. We'll see you tomorrow with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.